This is CliffCentral.com.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Good morning once again. It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and you're back with the ad show that you love, G-Man the Ad Man. And once again, it's been a beautiful week of advertising. Beautiful also is used very relatively in this regard, because there have also been a few shocking ads that have come out in this past week, and we're going to touch on those. But I think, you know, today I'd like to, we can't ignore everything that's happened today. I mean, on my drive in here, I happened to catch the Oscar Pistorius sentencing, and you know, you ask yourself, you know, what does that have to do with advertising or the branding or whatever? And you know, I was thinking, though, you know, when you're out there and you're a judge, and you're a lawyer, actually, you're essentially putting together a brand, right? That a way that you want this guy to be perceived, or the person you're defending, you need them to be perceived a certain way so that they can be mitigating circumstances to kind of go, I need people to have a certain opinion about my brand, because that's going to influence how the judgment's going to go. And I think that at its most basic and probably also at its most lateral, it was quite a convincing branding exercise from Barry LaRue. Because if you think about it, he essentially packaged this dude to come across as somebody who, you know, there was a certain level of sympathy for, and we also got to kind of understand for a reason. I mean, I say we, I use the royal we, but I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about, you know, there are obviously people who feel a certain way about what happened, and none of us were there, so we can't actually say anything about that. But I think from a branding perspective, what an interesting thing. You know, I think, you know, coming from and it makes me think that things like going out there and doing an interview with ITV where you know, you go and see how, and you see him walking on his stumps again. And once again, I mean, I'm not saying I have any opinion on what I think should have happened to him or what his sentence should have been. You know, I mean, if we were all lawyers, we wouldn't be, you know, sitting with MacBooks and going to the Luris. We'd be out there in courthouses defending people. But I think, so you know what, give me a call. Tell me what you think about it. Give me a call on 0861-555-189, or tweet me at CliffCentral.com on Facebook. On Facebook, it's Cliff Central. On WeChat, it's Cliff Central. Or you can also hit me up straight at Blaxem. That's at BLAXEM. But yeah, I mean, and isn't that a thing that that pretty much sums up how we present ourselves? You know, when you go to a presentation, you're going to present this amazing campaign to people, you plan certain things. You know, just as much as you know that there are certain clients who are going to appreciate a little jokey joke in the beginning, and then you get into the presentation, you also know that some clients you go to and you're just going to walk in and you have to present the work, because that's going to give you a better chance of getting your work sold. That is pretty much exactly what happens, I think, from watching this Oscar Pistorius trial. That's pretty much exactly what happens. The defense knew exactly what they needed to do, how they needed to package dude in order for him to come across a certain way, in order for that to kind of influence the way that the judge makes her judgment. But that's also another thing. I think, you know, when it comes from a branding perspective, you think about the judge. I mean, talk about consistency in a brand. You know, talk about somebody who made sure that even when the charge was still culpable homicide, she was consistent, right? She gave us a judgment that made us go, I'm not sure. And now, once again, you know, consistently coming across and saying, giving us another judgment that's making us go, yeah, maybe I don't understand the law so much. So, I mean, that's branding. That's branding on another level. But once again, give me a call. Tell me what you think about we're not talking about Oscar per se, but talk about this from a branding perspective. You know, how have you seen the brand Gerinel, the brand Barry Roo, the brand Judge Masipa, right? How has that come across for you? You know, I mean, I think once again, there are brands out there that would kill for the consistency that we've seen in this trial. And you know, brands that have found themselves in a weird place and have needed somebody to come in there and just kind of do a rescue. And I mean, in my humble opinion, that's exactly what's just happened. It's just been a rescue of a certain brand where, for example, I mean, I was listening to some people talking about, you know, the fact that you are supposed to get 15 years is the minimum you're supposed to get for this kind of thing. Dope. That's kind of the rule that they put up front. 15 years, if we find you guilty, that's where you're going. But this dude was able to somehow get the brand to turn around, brand Oscar, to turn around and be given a 6-year sentence because well, he just packaged dude properly. So these are interesting times, guys. These are interesting times in the land of branding. And I know that a lot of you guys have opinions about it. So when you do give me a call, when you do tweet me, try not to tell me, you know, what you think they should have said or what they should have done. No, it's not about that. It's about how do you see this from the perspective of branding, you know? And I mean, we can go back to all the way to the infamous O.J. Simpson now, you know? Like, none of us actually still know. Even though he went out, you know, that's when brands go rogue and do weird shit. Where you know, somebody has gotten you off. Somebody has made sure that your brand has been secured. Your brand was in a mess, and they brought you out of there, and they got you to not go to jail. And then, when a couple of years later, you write a book about how you would have done it. That's when brands normally change agencies. You know, when you've changed agencies, you've gone to another spot, and someone gives you bad advice about you know, maybe we should revisit that because it's part of your brand heritage. You know, let's go back to that. Let's revisit how you might have done it, and yeah, I just think the parallels between the legal conversations and the parallels between everything, pretty much everything that happens out there, and what we do every single day from a branding perspective and from essentially defending and promoting people out there, the parallels are amazing, and I find that really, really dope. So once again, give me a call on 0861-555-189 or tweet me at cliffcentral.com on Facebook, Cliff Central on WeChat, Cliff Central as well, or hit me up straight at Blaxem. That's at BLAXEM. So a lot has happened in advertising in the past 2 or so weeks. There've been some appointments that have happened. I know there's been movement. It is that time of the year. It's a time of the year where the wheels of the advertising bus go round and round, and creatives are moving around. And this normally happens right after things like Cannes, where you find that, you know, somebody has gotten a lot of finalists and all of a sudden they show up on someone's radar. Somebody has won something in Cannes and they show up on someone's radar. Or also because, you know, people are already gearing up for next year's Cannes. You know, people have already submitted their Lurie entries for this year. So now what we're doing is we're making our team come together so that you know, we can have a team for next year. And I know people like for example, big shout out to Achim Malinga and Gerrit Loopshaw, who've just moved to Ogilvy. I have it here. Yes, we've just moved to Ogilvy. Well done, fellas. Well done on a dope move. And I'm also just reading in on Mark Lives the other day that YNR SA have appointed a new ECD in Joburg. Right, that's dope. So this dude, Jacques Mathieu, has been appointed ECD in Joburg, and they're saying some really, really cool things about him, and hopefully we can get him on the show sometime, so he can tell us about, you know, his new spot, what he plans to have in the place. I mean, he's got an advertising photo on this Mark Lives article, super beard, you know, little twisties on the mustache, the ECD glasses. I bet you if this photo was a little bigger, we'd see the fold as well, the folded arms as well. But yeah, so why not have appointed a new ECD, Mr. Jacques Mathieu. And Graham Lang, who's the Chief Creative Officer of YNR South Africa, says on the website, bringing Jacques on board as an integrated ECD lays down a marker, not only for the kind of work we're interested in doing, but for how we'll be operating as an agency. We're also living in a post-digital world, and that means that connected ideas are at our core, and ideas about things that people care about that can reach them anywhere and in a way that makes them want to share these ideas. So, I mean, it's interesting times where, you know, when you consider hiring an ECD, you can't just, well, it appears that it can't just be somebody who just comes from the traditional background without having any idea on how to approach the digital world that is obviously becoming more and more of a mainstay, really. I've always been one of those people who gets into these conversations about, you know, is digital the brand new frontier that we all make it out to be, or is it just a medium? And what, if anything, what I've come to actually appreciate and understand is that, you know, yes, a part of it isn't just being a medium, but just like how TV, radio, print, outdoor, and whatever cannot be seen as a lead medium in any way, because we've come into this place where we've become media agnostic. So ideas can stem from digital, in as much as big ideas can stem from a big radio campaign that filters into digital as well. So it's very, very important, I think, that anybody who gets into creative leadership right now understands all those spheres and embraces them. And it sounds like Jacques Mathieu is one such guy. So I'm hoping one day soon, we can get Jacques into the studio so he can chat to us about what he thinks he's going to be doing at YNR, what he thinks about, you know, the conversations that we have here normally, you know, where we're going to as a people and all that. But that's amazing. So congratulations to everyone who's just made a move, and good luck to you. Hopefully, you know, you go out there and get to your new agency and do dope shit. Anyway, it's funny that I'm going to try and make a really, really weird segue out of this whole thing. So we were just talking about Oscar Pistorius, right? And how he's about to, you know, face the music. And you know, if some might say that as far as music goes, a lot of us were expecting him to face, you know, a big track. You know, we're expecting him to face a humongous track, you know, with all the bells and whistles in it. But some might also feel that all he received was, you know, one of those, you know, those little boxes that you open and it has a ballerina dancing in it. And that's all the music that he's facing. But yeah, there was a segue into the fact that my guest has arrived. My guest who's just arrived. I mean, Joburg traffic, for those of you who don't know, can get very exciting, and I'll forgive him for that. I'll forgive him because there are things like roadworks happening, and all that. So I'll give him that just this once, but our guy in the studio with me today, let me not say too much yet. Before I tell you his name, he's the guy behind some of the music that you've heard recently on Vodacom, for example. But that's not all he does. He doesn't just do music for commercials. But I'm gonna let him tell you all the stuff that he's been up to, all the things that he does. But in the studio with me today is Mr. Zetu Mashiga. Yeah, hold on one second. Something has happened. Zetu Mashiga, let's go once again. What's going on, son?
I'm good, man.
How's that traffic, son?
Hey, yeah, it's beautiful. It's an art. I think Joburg traffic is like an art form of somehow. You know, you always find yourself in it when you're trying to avoid it. And here we are.
And it's amazing because, you know, Zetu is also one of those people who are fortunate enough to not find himself like confined to office space like most of us, you know. So he actually gets to wake up when he wants, you know. So he could have traveled earlier if he wanted to, you know, like if he could have woken up much earlier, you know, come closer to where the studios are, had a coffee close by, waited for the time to be here on time, okay. But he chose not to.
I deserve that one. I deserve that one. But you know what had happened was.
let's leave it.
Yeah, let's leave it.
Let's
there.
Leave
yeah,
it.
I'll tell
anyway,
you afterwards. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, Zetu, my yep. man. I mean, yep. I've said now that you know the stuff that you've done recently for Vodacom is just one of the projects that you're working on. Can you fill us in, man? Tell us what you're up to right now. Like at this particular, like if I've happened to have seen this board. If there's a board in your studio, what's on that board right now? What are you working on right now?
My board is actually very crazy right now. I am literally between three different commercials, right. All at the same time.
Okay.
And I'm on deadline for a feature film that is meant to be complete by Friday.
Oh, fantastic.
And so, therefore, all sleep is eliminated from my timetable and stuff like that. So, it's a feature film. It's those three commercials.
Yeah.
It's another teaser for another feature film.
Wow.
And everything just keeps popping up in the last minute. I know that tomorrow I'm going to get another phone call saying we need this music for radio. Like, part of the reason I was late is because
here we go.
I was sending. Last night I had sent.
Right.
At 4 in the morning I had sent the track for Vodacom. And then this morning, on my way, I get a call saying, your email is not downloading. It's here, but it's not downloading. So I had to go back.
Beautiful.
You know, and then go send it and then come here. Hence the lateness.
Shout out to hard work, yo. We'll forgive it. We'll forgive the lateness, but shout out to hard work.
Thank you.
But wow, man, it means it's busy in the land of Zeta right now.
Yes.
Is it always this way? Are commercials always taking up all your time, or do you find yourself doing both? Is it always a bit of commercial and a bit of movies?
Last year it was a bit of commercial and a bit of movies.
Yeah.
This year just went nuts.
Okay.
I don't know what happened. Things just went crazy, and it was more commercials than movies.
Right.
All right. So I never commit to another film that unless I'm finished with this one first.
Oh, dope.
But if that film that I'm committing to happens after the timeline, then sure.
Yeah.
But so I haven't started. I haven't started any other feature film. I'm trying to finish off this one. But
right.
Commercials just keep popping in right when I'm supposed to be, you know,
off. It's obviously a right kind of popping in.
It is. It's the best kind of popping in, you know. you know that.
I know.
That's insane.
But that's great. But I mean, your processes then, right?
Yeah.
Is your process of creating music from scratch to creating scores essentially, because that's essentially what you do.
Yeah.
You're creating scores for movies. Is that essentially the same process as it is when you go out and you're asked to do the same thing for a commercial?
Okay. So when I do music for a commercial, the one thing that has in common with a feature film is that I'm working to picture.
Right.
Okay. The difference is quite vast though, because you have to tell the whole story in 30 seconds.
Right.
And it's extremely hard. People think, okay, no, it's just a 30-second track. Yeah. No, it's not.
You're
jumping between cuts, the music has to change, and sometimes, you know, you just have to find an overall sound. It's hard telling a story in 30 seconds.
Right.
And after weeks of doing short form, which is like 30 seconds telling stories, when you have to switch over into doing movies again, you have to readjust, because now you're used to those quick turns and the scene is just dragging on for like 5 minutes and you just have to like hold that note for a good 15 seconds and then switch just to buy yourself some time.
You run the risk of us breaking you, you know, so we might break you for the movie industry.
Yes, you're breaking me completely. Like, I'm not getting any sleep whatsoever. Like, I kind of understand now why they say commercials and advertising will swallow you.
Yeah,
it will really swallow.
It will swallow you.
Yeah.
But it'll chew you first. It'll chew you with a shot of tequila in it.
Yes,
and then swirl you around, and then it'll swallow you.
And then it will swallow you, and then it will shit you out. Right. Sorry.
Okay.
I heard you say shit earlier.
No, shit is fine.
Shit is fine. Okay.
I'm just trying to find what your metaphor is now.
Oh, okay.
Where's your metaphor gone to? You know, and then it will shit you out.
It will shit you out.
Yeah.
You can make what you think of it the way you want.
That's amazing. But now tell me this. You know, you talked about, you know, holding chords and whatever.
Yeah.
So obviously doing music, scoring and doing music for ads. I've seen people essentially have instruments in the studio, and like their drums and their basses and their things, and I've always wondered whether it means having a skill in working all those instruments. You know, is that what it takes? Is that what you do? Do you play everything and anything?
No, I'm not proficient in anything. I literally have very, very basic piano. I just know where to look for a note.
Right.
The one thing that my strength is my note matching.
Right.
If I hear it in my head, I can match it immediately. I know exactly which note. So I've got the ear for it. I know exactly what I want to do when I get started with it. And so I just taught myself how to translate what's in my head onto into real music.
So you're like the Rain Man of music, like one of those idiot savants, you know, like those people who can like know how many sticks of matches have fallen to the floor but can't wipe their ass.
You know, yeah, like, well, something like that. I don't know why you had to take it there, but I don't think the wiping ass part is very accurate. But the Rain Man part
is a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. Yes.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So you know what we're gonna do, Zetu. Mm. I'm gonna jam a track, okay?
Yeah.
And then what we do when we come back is I want you to tell us Zetu's story. You know, where you from, how you find yourself in this spot. You know, how you find yourself in playing music, well, making music for movies. You know, all the amazing people that you've met along this path of making music.
Yeah.
And how we just kind of think other people can be inspired by your journey, because you know that's what we try to do on the show is just trying to inspire people to understand that, you know, making ads is not just, you know, the copywriter, the art director.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are other people who make sure that the ad that ends up on your TV looks and sounds the way it does, and actually that you have the opportunity to be that part of advertising as well.
Yeah.
So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna pay the bills. I'm gonna play some ads because you know we got some shit to do out here.
I told y'all.
And then we're gonna play a track, and then when we come back we'll chat one more time. Cool. G-Man the ad man.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleepout, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleepout on the 28th of July 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleepout on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za.
Are you tired of your gym routine? With summer just around the corner, Movement X is here to help you change the way you train your body in new, fun ways. The Trendy Studios offer a unique range of specialized fun workouts such as boxing, Apex, Extreme, Pilates, BarX, and yoga, designed to burn fat and build muscle. For the period of July, Movement X is offering all new clients a free 7-day trial period. Email info@movementx.co.za for more information. Movement X, experience fitness, experience change. Go to movementx.co.za for more info.
Cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, we're back. I'm still back with your man, Zetu Mashika, and you're still hanging out with me, G-Man the ad man. Give me a call once again if you have any questions for Zetu. You know, I know you guys, there's a whole bunch of, like, you know, you sound engineer, you sound interested type. You see what I did there? Sound interested. You sound interested, people out there. Give me a call on 0861-555-189 or on Twitter. Hit me up on @cliffcentral.com or hit me up straight at @BLAXEM. For any questions you might have for the man, and for you remember that thing we were talking about earlier, you know, the beautiful sense of branding that has been the episode of Oscar Pistorius and this entire track. So I'm still hanging out with Zetu, and in fact, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna play you guys something that Zetu has done that you might have heard recently, just to kind of give you a sense of what the man is capable of. Are you ready, Zetu? Are you ready to play it first? Yeah. So this is what he does. He's late for the show. He needs to be ready with some things, and he makes me look like I'm the one who's not prepared. But it's a pity that I won't be able to play you some of the stuff that he's done for film and whatever. But I mean, the guy's got some mad skills, and it'll be amazing if he gets to inspire you in such a way that you can actually do what he does as well. So I think he's ready now. You ready enough?
I think so.
All right, cool. So let's jam that. You got it?
I think so.
Yeah. Can I have this dead hit play? You got it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You might recognize this from the from the Vodacom, from the Vodacom, latest Vodacom commercial. What you know about that? Yeah, that's those are the workings, the skills of one Zetu Mashiga, the one that's sitting here with us right now. And I mean, wow! If you see this man's work ethic as well, I mean, it puts a lot of us to shame. But that's also, I guess, why he also gets to wake up at the time that he does and make the excuses that he does, because he can do work like that.
Privileges.
I guess is what they call them.
Yes.
But yeah, Zetu, I mean, take us back, man. I want all of us to meet the guy behind that music. And where did it kind of all start for you? Did you always know that you wanted to be the guy who makes music for movies? Did you walk out and study that?
No. Well, yes and no. You asked so many questions there. I knew I wanted to make music for the rest of my life.
Right.
All right? And it's very broad, because then people will always say, okay, so what part of music? What do you want to wear? What do you want to do? Do you want to be an artist? Do you want to be a producer and all these things? And initially, my inward look at myself, I fit in anywhere in music.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's one of the most important parts about making it.
Yeah.
You get people who kind of like strike it lucky.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a good rapper.
Yeah.
And then he meets a good producer, and then their career flies, right?
What do I feel like you're talking about someone specific?
No, I'm okay. Not talking about anybody specific. Let's not be,
okay.
You know, but...
Okay.
My success is based on the fact that I can fit in anywhere.
Right.
All right. And the thing about being a composer, film composer.
I like that. I'm gonna stop you there for a second. You know, yeah. I like that you say that. I like that you say things like my success. You know, it's very easy for people to be, and I don't want to say it's a brag or it's a humble brag, but I think it's very important for you to understand where you are,
yeah.
and what you think you want, and also to kind of to talk it into being.
Yeah.
And also when you're there, dude, you need to stop this thing of angsaza, my boy.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's really dope, man. I think it's a really great thing.
Yeah, I think self-awareness is the difference between the average and the supreme.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have to really be self-aware.
That's what's up. Between what? Between the average and the supreme.
Yeah. Yes. And so it's important to know who you are in order for you to know what you can and cannot do and how far you can go. Right? But beyond that, my success is based on the fact that I can move around anywhere. I can fit in anywhere when it comes to music. And that's what, for me, being a composer is. Being able to compose any genre.
Right.
Any genre that is presented to you. So when they want Aboriginal, is that how you say it? Aboriginal. Aboriginal. Yeah. Is that the right way?
As opposed to just original. No, okay. No, I know what you mean.
the Aboriginal music.
Exactly. You should be able to go to that place.
And it's actually weird, right? It's maybe I watch too many movies or whatever, but like, music is a spiritual center.
Yeah.
Right? And your knowledge of it and your relationship with it is what determines the outcome. So imagine like this really, really big ball of light.
Yeah.
Like kind of like the sun, but like a red one.
Yes.
All right. And in this ball is access to anything musical.
Right.
All right.
Right. Right.
I'm
still with you.
I have a direct channel to this big ball, and I have access to in and out this big ball. Some people don't. Some people have just like a little, like kind of like how humans have access to sunlight. We just feel the sun and just enjoy bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
But imagine if you were able to travel to the sun and do things, whatever you want, and come back. And that's kind of my relationship. Also,
that's how you get my complexion.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah. when you become burgundy. So that, being able to move in and out of that space, gives me the ability to do anything in music.
Right.
And So I always knew that about myself.
Okay.
All right. It just became even more defined growing up.
Later.
Then I started to explore certain aspects of music or whatever. So I started out singing, and then I started producing, and then I started, I also did some rapping.
Yeah.
I did all of these things, and then I did rock music, you know, started producing and composing rock music. And then I started composing Chinese music. I started composing all these different genres, and I just wanted to see how far my abilities go.
But just off the cuff, without a brief, without anything like that?
This
just
was
like great.
Just me, just listen, I'm going to make a Chinese track right now.
Wow.
I'm going to have some tea, then make a Chinese track, and then I make a Chinese track. And then go as far as doing all these things, and then I started making music for movie music, just like the sound of it all, you know, and then messing around with that. And then bumped into a homie who then put me on in the hip hop industry briefly, very briefly. I got to work with Flabba, H2O, Zulu Mob.
Dope.
And
Dope.
Yeah, that was like a little brief intro. And then in 2009, I met another homie who was doing his grad film. And he was panicking because he couldn't find the right music, and he had to submit his film at AFTA. His name is Mfundo Mkize.
Oh, what's up? Shout out to Mfundo Mkize.
And then I actually called my other friend. His name is Fidel. And I said, Fidel, listen, where were you drinking tonight? Where were you partying? And he's like, actually, do you want to make music for a movie?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? What? Of course. So they came and picked me up. I didn't have a ride then.
Yeah.
They came and picked me up.
Yeah, this was pretty the chase.
Yeah,
the text,
pretty, you know. And now things are different. You know. And
carry
then
on,
yeah, we went into the studio, and it was a 16-minute short film, and I scored it the whole thing that night, right?
Wow.
And it was then that after that night, I went home and I changed all my branding. I changed my email, I changed everything, and I said film score composer.
Wow.
That, I made that decision at the point. I was bitten, it was over.
Yeah.
I was a film score zombie now.
That is dope, man.
Yeah. So it's and in between all of that, I think I should write a book. There's so much that has happened. I have lived.
Yeah, no, talk to us. Tell us about it.
Like, you know, I dropped out of college.
Uh-oh.
Twice.
Uh-oh. There you go.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, I mean, that's not advice to the kids, but I mean, this is part of someone else's journey.
Actually, I beg to differ.
Yes.
There you go. I'm going to play devil's advocate. And I'm going to tell you straight the way I see it. And I'm not saying this is the ultimate way, but school's not for everyone. The way
this is true, though.
The way the education system is built.
This is true. This is true.
Is between, not really conducive.
Between you and Casper, yes. School is not necessarily a thing.
Yeah, and you know what? I think, you know, it's just I've come to understand that, and I have my reasons as to why I say this.
Yeah.
When I dropped out of marketing, which was the second time I dropped out, I had just taught myself how to design a website in less than 2 weeks. And
ooh,
and really? I taught myself how to do this. And I'm like, why am I waiting here for 3 years for somebody to come and give me approval so that I can get a job, which I don't want? What am I doing here? You know? And I dropped out from electromechanical engineering. Now
it seems this industry of ours always finds someone from some kind of engineering.
Mm.
Somehow engineering is our feeder.
Yes.
You know, engineering I think it goes and it frustrates people to such an extent that they all believe I should be having more fun. And,
right?
and here we are.
And I'm having so much fun.
Yeah, carry on. Sorry, I interrupt you.
So I dropped out from engineering, dropped out from marketing. The day I dropped out from engineering was the beginning of the Great War. Okay.
Right.
Now, the Great War is a psychological war that happened between me and my mom for
Boom.
About 4 years.
Yeah.
Yes, for a good 4 years straight.
It's an era.
Yeah, it's an era. It's a very particular era, a very integral era in my life. Like, this era kind of like shaped me so much. It really played a really a big role in shaping me. So the war began.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was real. But in this war was me sitting at home, me looking for jobs, me trying to start my own things, me doing all these things, and like really getting to explore who I am.
Yeah. This is the part where they say, you've dropped out, I'm done with you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's that era.
I'm done with you.
Yeah.
All you good for right now,
I
kid you not,
is
the house chores.
Yeah, that's it.
And these little things, but you need to get up every day
and do something.
You are not going to stay sleeping while I wake up to go to work.
Boom. Boom. So I think a lot of us can relate to that. Lot of us. Yeah.
So
Shout out to Momsies.
Shout out to Momsies. Yeah, man. And so that space forced me to really explore who I am.
Right.
Indirectly. And I don't think I was aware of that at the time, but it really forced me to explore. I did a lot of things. In that space, I lived.
Right.
Okay. And not as in the turn-up sense that kids are thinking of. I'm saying, like, I lived. I explored being a gardener. I explored...
Gardener drunk, so.
Like me and four homies decided, bro, you know how we can make money. These guys need gardens in our area, bro. Let's start a gardening service and see how much we can make.
How much weed was involved in these conversations?
There was none.
Yeah, whatever.
Not even any alcohol.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm all right, serious.
Cool. All right, cool.
And so we went out and we got some tools. Everybody like pitched in some tools from home. I could not let my mother find out about this because she was not going to have that. And we went out and... You know what? It was a very short space of time. Like, dude, we did like two gardens.
Yeah.
But it was like, good enough for me to know
that this is not for you.
This is not for me. I can't do this. Secondly, it showed me. It taught me to respect people who do that kind of landscape engineering.
Right.
Because it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And that hard work, it doesn't pay as much as it should.
Sure.
Do you understand? It is a lot of hard work. I do not look at them the same way.
Yeah.
I actually respect them, and I a lot.
Yeah.
I'm humbled when I'm around landscape engineers. So all of that, doing that, starting a magazine, starting an online magazine, working as a graphics designer at a newspaper, and all of this stuff is stuff I had to teach myself.
Right.
Because, I mean, I don't have $5,000 to go pay somebody to do me a website.
Exactly.
I'm going to go to a friend.
Gonna put it together, yeah.
Yes, I'm going to put it together. I'm going to get some software and learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And then I did. You know, and graphics design, I still use Corel Draw today. Everybody looks down at me and like, oh, what do you use that crap? What did you use Photoshop? I'm like, hey, bro, the things I can do on this thing, you can't even begin to imagine. Anyway,
don't look down on Photoshop.
I'm not looking down. Okay. I'm calling a circle
a circle. It actually makes no sense. How are you taking Corel Draw and looking down on Photoshop? It makes absolutely no sense.
Look,
cool.
Exactly. I'm not looking down on anything, but they're looking down at me.
Right,
do you understand?
Carry on.
So anyway, doing all these things, eventually, I had a big fallout with my mom.
Yeah.
And then I said, there's only one way that I'm going to be able to succeed at what I want to do. And I can't do it here.
Yes.
So I have to leave.
Right.
So I packed my bags at like 11 at night. And with no plan.
Right.
Nowhere to go, no job, nothing. Yeah. And I packed my bags and I left. I went to the park. Right?
No, man.
I went to the park and I chilled there for an hour and I recollected myself. And then at that time I had an artist that I had signed who was staying in Pretoria. So I gave him a shout. I'm like, listen, but I need to rest my head for about a week.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you can only come here for a week because in a week school's closed and you gotta go back to Joburg.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, that's all I need.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Took my stuff, went back to the house. Snuck in so that I can sleep in the outside room on the floor, on the toilet floor.
Right.
Midwinter. I slept, and then at 5 o'clock I set my alarm clock for 5 o'clock, got up before they got up, and then left. Took a taxi to Pretoria. Pretoria, met up with this guy and I could breathe for a second. In that week, that's when I got an interview to go work as a graphics designer at a newspaper.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, all right, God,
it's all falling in place now.
Yeah. So I got that interview and now I knew at least that I've got money coming in. And went and worked there for that first month while staying at my sister's place.
Yeah.
And she was like, I didn't want to go there. Yeah. I was actually ready to take on the streets. I said to her, listen, hold my things.
Yeah.
Just so that I have my stuff. Me, I'll see myself out.
Whoa.
All right. I'll be okay. And she's like, no, I'm not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
Just come through. And then I was like, okay, if I come through, I'm only going to stay a month until I get my first salary. With my first salary, I'm going to try and get myself a place.
Yes, right.
That's exactly what happened. I moved to Melville in this very small little cottage. A commune. One room.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yes, right.
Erumin. I've got my bed, everything. My whole house is in
everything
this one.
Everything is within reach.
One
hand touches butter, the other touches Vaseline.
My man. The other war began. From there.
Yeah.
After 3 months, I lost that job because the company moved over into Vereeniging.
Yeah, which is a little far.
A little far.
Yeah.
But this guy wanted me to live in his servant's quarters so that I can work as a graphics designer from his house.
Yeah, so no.
And I'm like, homie, what do you think?
Yeah.
Who do you think I am?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was like, all right, fine. No, I can't carry on. That's fine. So now I'm unemployed, but I can't leave
the spot that you're
staying. I can't leave the spot that I'm staying in. Yeah. I can't go back home.
Yeah.
Not with the way that I left. All right. Now World War II begins. The war between me and the landlords. Do you understand?
Oh, Zezu. Hold on. I feel like you've been through way too much. But I do think that, you know, it's also quite, it's very clear that, you know, we are all the sum total of our experiences.
Yes.
You know, it sounds to me like all those things, and for me, a certain way that you've always approached stuff is I'm going to do this shit. Doesn't really matter how I'm going to get there, and I'm going to do it.
Yes.
And there've always been obstacles, and I think this is something that all of us kind of face every day, you know? And I mean, I'm going to move on just a little bit from there. Like, you know, all of us have been through, well, most of us have been through those situations, and there's probably somebody at home right now listening to this and going, Jesus, I'm at the middle of this World War One there, which is peace, you know? But I mean, running with that theme, there are other wars that I'm sure you also deal with in studio, you know?
Yes.
So when we've come for an approval, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, the agency guys have come through, and they've said, yeah, this sounds dope, I like it. And then the client comes through, and says, I don't know. Right? So what happens? How do you handle it? How do you handle, you know, like the I'm sure there's a temperament.
Yeah.
That comes with making sure that, you know, you use the right words.
Yes.
You don't turn to
you have to calm yourself
people.
Down.
Yeah.
And here's the truth. I'm gonna be very blunt, and I'm gonna be very honest. And I'm hoping that advertising people are listening right now.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
There's a reason you go to somebody for something.
Yeah.
All right. And that reason is purely because this person you're going to is good at what they do. They know what they're talking about.
Boom.
That's what it comes down to. If you second guess the person that you hired, you're second guessing yourself. Because you're
that
obviously
is so important.
Exactly. So when a composer says to you, I am raising the emotion in this by doing this and this and this. And the reason I'm doing this is because it's missing from the picture and the dialogue.
Yes.
Believe him. He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, man.
All right? And you'll find that in most instances, in a lot of instances, and I say this with so much, I'm glad I'm here to say this now because I've been wanting
to. I'm glad you're here to say this.
A lot of the guys, some of the guys, whether it's the creatives or clients themselves, they are either a failed musician or failed director in front of these things. And now this is an opportunity for them to do what they failed at. And so sometimes they make suggestions that are like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Do you understand? And so that's where it usually comes from. And that's why you go full circle. You start with the whole changes and everything. Okay, let's indulge him. You make all these changes and you end up coming back to where you were. Because they just need to experience that little taste of, now I'm in studio. When I'm okay, why don't we add a note like this? Come on, dude. Come on, man. There's a reason why I didn't do that.
That's insane.
But more than anything, you finesse it. You know, you indulge them and you show them that what they're suggesting is rubbish.
Yeah.
By doing it and saying, okay, well, here
there
you
it
go.
Is like,
this is what you asked for.
Yeah.
And then, it's not working. Yeah. And then you play the original one. Like, this sounds so much better. What did you do?
It's exactly the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. So you finesse it and you try to explain to them that, you know, this is why. You give some kind of context as to why you did things the way you did them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they make that final decision.
Yeah.
And
it's still their thing.
Cool. It's your commercial.
Yeah. But I wouldn't have done it like that.
I wouldn't have done it like that.
That is such an important conversation, dude.
Mm.
Because I mean, we speak about it from the perspective of you know how we make music, and kind of at the final product. But I think that is something that is missing from relationships that agency people have with their clients.
Yeah.
You know, you came to me. You came to me because you want my expertise in this thing.
Yes.
So now if I come to you and I show you what I think the radio spot should sound like, and you say to me, look, I'm not saying that because that's what the review process is for.
Yeah.
The review process is for you to kind of go, is it still saying what I think the brand should be saying? Am I speaking in the right tone or whatever? But if we've already agreed kind of in the strategy phase about where we think we're going,
yes.
And if I give you a radio spot that goes in a certain direction, I think there's a very hard line that people have somehow managed to cross over into,
yeah.
Cross over, where they just kind of say, you know, I don't know about this radio spot, eh?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, my man. But you came to me.
Yeah.
No one, you know, I always make the analogy of it being like, you know, people, you can go to a barber.
Yeah.
Ne? And you can say to a barber, I want a Mr. T.
Yeah.
Ne? Mm. And the barber will not... The most he can say, but you have a chopper, my man. Nah, your head is a chopper. Your Mr. T is not going to look good.
It's not going to look nah, good. Yeah.
If you insist, the most he can do is, my man, I don't think Mr. T on a chopper is a good idea.
Yes.
But you are insisting. Fine. I'm going to give it to you.
Say no more, fam.
Yeah, my man, say no more. Here's your chopper with a Mr. T, right?
Yeah.
But nobody ever goes into. And I'm not suggesting in any way that you know, doctors or anything, you know, or no one says to the dentist and says, my man, I think you must drill in this direction, you know, because we have still allowed certain professionals their sense of professionalism and their sense of expertise.
Yes.
Whereas with us, we've somehow allowed people into kind of going, yeah, you're an expert, Nyana. But I also kind of know about it.
Me, I also know.
Because
actually,
my brother's got two bays.
Yeah.
You know? Damn it. Zeti.
Yeah.
My man, I've got a question here from somebody on. Yeah, but also this person, I don't think this is a name you should be going by on social media. This person is called That Bitch Jane. So That Bitch Jane wants to know. She says, my brother is good with sound, and he's a sound engineer. He's a sound designer, sorry. Mm. And would like to do radio ads. What can he do to break into being a sound designer? But he's not necessarily a musician. Yeah, I'm just, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A sound designer, according to my understanding, is the person who does those sound effects.
Yeah.
Those background sound effects in
well, also to tell a story still.
Yeah,
you know?
To tell a story.
Yeah.
But now, where does that link with radio? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because you don't necessarily use sound design in radio unless you're doing those radio stories.
Yes.
Yes, in that instance.
Well, you kind of do, because when you put together a radio spot, more often than not, you're setting a scene.
You're setting a scene. Okay.
You know? Yeah.
Because I don't listen to radio.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, thanks. Right? Oh, thank you.
So, where does he start? He starts by going out and actually making a radio spot, showcasing what he can do.
Fantastic.
So you actually have to have something to. It doesn't
That's
really.
Fantastic advice.
Yeah, you can't. Don't go around sending CVs and stuff. Like I said, I studied. No one cares.
No, show
we want to know what you can do.
That is so dope, man.
Create 5 to 10 tracks. Actually, you know what? Create 20.
Yeah.
Different tracks showcasing what you actually want to do. And if it's the sound design, create the program or the sound clip that will really, really showcase what you can
that
do.
That is so
and
dope.
Then when you go out and you go to people, you just put your stuff there and say, this is what I can do.
A portfolio of sorts. Put together a portfolio.
Yeah.
That is so dope. So, That Bitch Jane.
That Bitch Jane.
I hope that advice helps your brother out.
Oh, yeah. And set up a website so that
people
you can put up all these things up
Boom.
There, and people can have access, and then the cars come home.
Boom.
Yes,
guys. Zeti, I told you this hour flies by, man.
Oh, it's over.
We're done. But
too much fun.
But we need. That's exactly it. But you know, I like it because, like I say, with every single one of these shows, it proves that, you know, one day when I'm big, I'll be able to get 2 hours or so or 3 hours on this show, so that we can delve into everything and actually have the conversations we want.
Yeah,
I think that, you know. It's amazing how every time we have these conversations with pretty much most of the guests that come in here, we realize that exact same fact that, you know, we're all the sum total of our experiences, and that experience that you have, that life that you're living, the existence that you have out there, is going to be important for you to bring to the table so we can make better work. All of us collectively can start making better work, putting better things on TV, telling better stories, because, you know, we have the sum total of all of our experiences. But yeah, that's the hour up for me. It's been amazing. In fact, we didn't swear too much, so you can still play this podcast for your mom. Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Maybe she knows me.
and hit me up on at Blaxem, at BLAXEM, if you have any comments, if you have any, ask me more questions for Zetu, and then we'll put them up. But I always, like I always say about this show, you know, it happens on a Wednesday, but if it was on a Friday, we'd be having tequila. This your man, G-Man the Ad Man, and we're out right now.
This is cliffcentral.com.